Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together once again in our Wednesday prayer meeting time. Lord, we ask that you would meet with us in a special way, that we would just draw closer to each other as we draw closer to you. I pray, Father, that you would hear our prayer request then after the message. And Lord, may you answer according to your will for your glory. And I pray that we would learn how to pray effectively. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, would you turn in your Bibles this evening? Before you do that, let me get this. Okay. We've got too many things here, but we will get to it. There we go. Psalm 81. And verse 10 will be our, it will be our text in a sense, but we're going to be looking at quite a number of other scripture passages. So Psalm 81, verse 10 to begin with. The promise that the Lord has repeatedly and strongly impressed on my heart, especially in the matter of prayer, is found in actually another passage, Mark chapter 10, verse 27. Looking at them, Jesus said, "With people it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Similar to what you see up there above my head, and what a wonderful promise that is. Years ago, as a church, we saw God work a great miracle as we trusted God and asked Him to supply the funds needed to buy our church building. And we've been trusting God and asking Him to give us courage and compassion to witness, and that He would save souls, especially individuals that we have witnessed to, loved ones, you know, the ones that we repeatedly pray for and will continue to pray for. As a couple, Brenda and I have been praying for God to work in our family and bring us all to fuller love and surrender to Him and to greater usefulness and fruitfulness for Him. And I hope that you also are doing the same thing in your personal life and your family. We've been praying for specific requests that God has already answered marvelously. And this year, Evangelist John R. Van Gelder will be holding a four-day week of revival meetings in our church starting Sunday, May 12th. You can remember that because it's Mother's Day, all right? So Mother's Day begins these five meetings during 4 days and continuing through Wednesday. So Sunday through Wednesday, two times on Sunday, and one time every evening at 7:30 here, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So five messages in all. As we prepare our hearts even now for this special week of revival meetings with our evangelists, I encourage you to set your heart to learn and make up your mind to pray in such a way that God will work miracles and glorify His name in answer to your prayers. For many years, I've tried to do this a week or two or even 3 weeks before the meetings, and the Lord just said, start early. So, okay, Lord, I'll start early, first month of the year, to start focusing on that. Don't forget, it's coming, and it'll come faster than you think. So would you turn in your Bible, if you're not already there, to Psalm 81? And just follow along in your Bible as I read verse 10 aloud for us. Psalm 81, verse 10, "I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it." I've preached on this verse before, and I love this verse. And it's not because I can open mouth wide, okay, literally. I think our son Stephen can do it the best of anybody I have ever seen. He can actually put his fist inside his mouth. That's incroyable. I can't do that. But anyway, I just keep hearing the dentist saying, wider, wider, open, open. You know? But anyway, this verse, all kidding aside, has a wonderful promise. And let me start out by asking you this question. Is God your God? Remember, the verse starts out, "I, the Lord, am your God." So is God your God? The command and promise which we're about to consider this evening only applies to those who have been born spiritually into God's family by faith in Christ. God does not promise to answer the prayers of those who are not his children, although I believe God does do that on occasion, just to show his power. Out of mercy, God may answer a prayer of an unsaved person sometimes, and that will bring them to Christ, usually. Often the things that an unsaved person asks for are definitely not what God would be pleased to answer, and unsaved individuals may often mistakenly assume that they got what they wanted from God. But actually, it may very well be Satan manipulating things in order to fix them more firmly in their disobedience to God's word and lull them into a false sense of security. I remember one particular lady years and years ago who said that she prayed that she'd win the lottery, and she won. So she said, "See, God answered my prayer." And I'm like, maybe, maybe not. The problem with that is that it made them more deeply believing in gambling, which I don't think is something God would be wanting to do. So anyway, just keep that in mind. So there is one prayer from unsaved individuals which God always, always, always hears and answers. That's found in Luke chapter 18, verse 13. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating on his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And that is a prayer that God always, always answers. What a blessing. God can truly become your God if you will repent of your sin and trust Christ alone. Since I'm giving this message during our prayer meeting, I assume that if you're attending tonight, you already have trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. So I won't explain how to be saved right now. However, if you are listening to this message on our website and have not 100% made sure that you are saved, then please contact me by email or texting so that I can show you from the Bible how to be saved from sin and hell. Now, once you have been born into God's family by faith in Christ, then God is your God, and you can now ask him for great things that are in line with his will. God is a miracle-working God. Psalm 81, verse 10, it says, "I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." Interesting. God prefaces his command that comes later in the verse, to open your mouth wide, by a reminder of his power. Remember what God did to bring the Israelites out of Egypt from slavery to freedom. 10 plagues on Egypt. You can read through all that in the book of Exodus. Changing Pharaoh's mind, whether he wanted to or not, by all that happened. Then the Israelites crossing the Red Sea on dry land, and then the chariots of Pharaoh drowned as the Lord brought the Dead Sea back on that place. Providing manna from heaven and water from a rock, and so many more miracles as you read through what happened after that. So God repeatedly reminds us of the proof of his miracle working power to encourage us to ask for great things. Why did he say in this verse, "I am the Lord your God who brought you up from the land of Egypt"? Because he's reminding them of his miracle working power. He created the heavens and the earth. He continually sustains the universe. He wrought miracle after miracle down through the years. For example, he caused the shoes of the Israelites not to wear out for 40 years. How many of you have worn leather shoes with leather soles? Okay, nobody wears leather soles anymore, do they? But I remember wearing shoes with leather soles, and wow, that leather would get really thin after a while, and you have to get it resoled. Well, the Israelites, their shoes never wore out. 40 years worth of walking. He caused the sun to stand still for 24 hours when Joshua asked for it. He raised from the dead the son of the Shunammite woman when Elisha asked for it During his earthly ministry, Jesus wrought all kinds of miracles. Then the apostles did likewise by his power. So he certainly still does miracles today. We can think, read through the New Testament and say, yeah, wow, that was great. Oh, wish I'd lived in those days. Wait a minute. He still does miracles today because he does not change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as that song says, and as the verse says in Scripture. He radically transforms lives. Read the life of John Newton, transformed from a vile sailor to a pastor and hymn writer. He wrote Amazing Grace. God continues to work miraculous healing. I was reading a book written by Dr. Henry W. Frost, who records 6 instances of instantaneous healing without recourse to medical help after asking God to heal, including one time in China when Hudson Taylor was on the point of death. So these are not things that happened in just the New Testament. These things happened recently, relatively recently. And God continues to work other kinds of miracles. Charles G. Finney, a well-known evangelist, records the time a woman, in answer to her prayer after she was saved, was instantly given the ability to read the Bible, when before she did not even know the alphabet. We're not talking about she was able to do it in 6 months. No, instantly, so that you can tell this is a miracle, this is not anything else. Finney checked this out carefully with those who knew her before he wrote this in a book. I wish we had the time here to recount even greater miracles carefully checked out and documented by well-known and reliable men of God. However, I believe the point is clear. God still works miracles today in answers to prayer. How many of you would agree with that? Nod your heads. Yeah, I'm forcing you to because I'm looking at you. Okay. No, but seriously, how many of you believe that? He still works miracles today. Okay. Well, God commands us to ask for great things. Psalm 81, verse 10 again. I, the Lord, am your God who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Open your mouth wide is a command. God's reminder that he is a miracle-working God shows he intends for us to ask for miracles, not just minuscules, as I said before when I preached on this passage. He said, open your mouth, what's the next word?
Wide.
Okay, wide. He didn't say, don't be so greedy, take small bites, or a little dabble do ya. No, he said, open your mouth wide. So elsewhere in the Old Testament, God's word declares, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear, Isaiah 59:1. God is not limited. He can do anything. So God wants us to prove his power, prove his love, prove his promises by taking him at his word. That's the definition of faith. And ask for great things. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Notice the terms God uses here. It's not just ho-hum, mediocre. It's grand, it's great, it's overflowing. Well, Mark chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. And he did not let him, but he said to him, this is the Lord Jesus, did not let this person, but said to him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. And this man went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. Remember, this was the demoniac that was freed from demons and was saved. And he actually became a great witness after that. In Matthew chapter 17, verses 19 and 20, Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not drive it out?" Speaking of the demon. And in verse 20, and he said to them, "Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible to you." Matthew chapter 14, verses 26 through 31. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." But Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" You can see that God wants us to prove him. And when he commands us to ask for things, for great things, he means it. He's not teasing us. God promises to give us as much as we have faith to ask for. Let me finish that verse, Psalm 81, verse 10. "I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it." Fill it. God's promise is definite. He will fill it, and it is unlimited. He didn't say, "I'll put some in it." Okay. "I'll put a few bites in it." No, he says, "I will fill it." Food, finances, strength, healing, salvation of souls, victory over sin, whatever is according to his will. And that's the key. Whatever is according to his will. John chapter 14, verse 14, the Lord Jesus said, "If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." 1 John 5, 14, "This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Did you notice the word in both verses? Anything. Anything. God's answer is limited only by our limited asking, or even failure to ask. Let me give you a couple examples. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verses 1 through 6. You can turn there if you will, just so you'll get this. Second Kings chapter 4 and beginning verse 1. "Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves.' Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?' And she said, 'Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil.' Then he said, 'Go, borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few.'" Notice, do not get just a few. "And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons, and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not one vessel more." And the oil stopped. Look at 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 14 through 19. When Elisha became sick with the illness of which he was to die, Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over him and said, "My father, my father." The chariots of Israel and its horsemen. Elisha said to him, take a bow and arrows. So he took a bow and arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. And he put his hand on it. Then Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. He said, open the window toward the east. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the Lord's arrow of victory, even the arrow of victory over Aram, for you will defeat the Arameans at Aphek until you have destroyed them. Then he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. And he struck it three times and stopped. So the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Aram until you would have destroyed it. But now you shall strike Aram only three times. You say, so what's the point of those two stories, or those two accounts? Because they're real, they're history. Well, notice that when they ran out of vessels, or they only struck three times, then that was it. So we're limited by, or God is, limits himself to what our faith is limited to. So the point is, increase your faith and start trusting the Lord for great things. Notice how often he says, fill it. Great things. More. Okay? That's what God wants us to understand. You know, there are still many more lessons we need to learn about prayer. But as the Lord leads, we'll continue that the rest of this year. But what the Lord is teaching us today in this message seems to be one of the hardest lessons for many believers, that of trusting the Lord and asking him for great things. We do him great disservice when we don't let others around us see God do mighty things and prove to them that there is a miracle-working God. We are so afraid that God will not come through for us that we don't ask for anything but very general or very small things. And by that, we prove to the unsaved around us that God does not exist, or at the very least, that he does not care enough to answer prayer, or that he can only do little things. Christian, perhaps as a result of what we've studied today from his word, the Lord has encouraged your heart to start trusting him for great things and to not doubt. Will you let the Lord know right now in your heart that you are making the decision to trust him for great things and to prove it by asking him for great things that are according to his will, always according to his will. This means that you need to make sure that what you're asking is clearly based on a statement or principle taught in the Bible. Take your time to do this and ask the Lord's leading whether that's something that he highlights for you as you read God's word. But do take the time to do it. May the Lord increase the strength of your faith as you pursue this. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are encouraged by what we hear. We are also ashamed, Lord, when we realize how we may have slipped away from trusting you for great things. We get complacent and just ask for little things, and we forget that you are a great God, you're a miracle-working God, and you are waiting for us to trust you for great things. I pray, Father, that you would help us to remember what you have done in the past and what you are still doing today. And Lord, I pray that we would trust you and ask you for great things that are according to your will. Help us, Lord, to stay in your word and seek in your word for what you want us to ask for. And then, Lord, I pray that we would continue to trust you until we see you answer in a great way. For your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.